Hey guys, it's Jay. Before we start the show, I want to remind you to go to GoDaddy.com the next time you need a website and use the promo code MASTER69 and get yourself a domain name for 99 cents. I just did it recently. It's easy. It's simple. You need a domain name. Don't pay like the 15, 20 bucks some places charge you. Go to GoDaddy.com, put in the promo code MASTER69 and save yourself some dough. 99 cent domains. It's a sweet deal. Just a quick warning before we start the show. We had some audio issues, so the audio is slightly a little more subpar than it normally is. So just wanted to warn you about that ahead of time. Enjoy the show.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay. Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's Masters of None. I am Jay. With me is Mike.
Hi.
And Art.
Ho!
And for this episode, which is the worst wrestling gimmick of all time, we are joined by our pal and one of the masterminds behind 2KW Pro Wrestling. Am I right in saying that? It's Mr.
Yes.
Matt Ryan.
Hey guys, glad to finally be on the show. I've known you guys for like 3 years, and now it's the perfect opportunity for me to come on, talk terrible wrestling, and promote whatever it is I'm doing.
Yeah, man. So tell us what you got going on. You got an event coming up in the city or in the Bronx?
Yeah, next Saturday, January 17th at 8 p.m., 2KW Pro takes its next step. Live from Darrow's Extreme Fitness at 1123 Close Avenue in the Bronx. If you know the New York City subway system, you just take the 6 train to Elder Avenue, walk about 2 blocks, and then you're there. Tickets are only $10, which seems to be the best and most effective price. It's right after the holiday, so if you want a night of cheap and quality entertainment, we provide it for you at 2KW Pro.
Nice.
What is it? Darla's Pro Fitness?
Darrow's, D-A-R-O-S. Yes, nice. It's a gym right in the middle of the Bronx, so you know you're in for a great evening.
Nice. That's the world's
rascals.
that's the world's second most famous arena.
Yes. It's Madison Square Garden, then some gym on the second floor of an abandoned building in the Bronx. It's right there. Like, it goes past the Nassau. I've been to the Nassau Coliseum, and I've been to Darrow's Extreme Fitness. I would like to say that Darrow's is worlds better than the Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah.
Dude, Art has shoe boxes in his closet that are better than Nassau Coliseum. Definitely have more padding and comfort. We know you through our pal E-Rock over at Open.
Yes.
Anthony, right? Tell us how you're a radio guy, and tell us how you got into the wrestling thing before we get to our topic, because that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've been in radio since I was 18. I worked for the Opie and Anthony show as an intern. If you remember Angry Matt or Fat Matt, the angry intern, I'm not the one that was at Occupy Wall Street, even though I was at Occupy Wall Street after a job interview and I got yelled at by hippies because I was wearing a suit. It's my only good suit, and they were yelling at me because I was trying to get a hockey play-by-play job.
Loser.
That day almost made me a Republican. It was uncomfortable for everyone involved. I was doing a college radio show at the time. It was a wrestling radio show. And just started making friends in the wrestling business, started doing announcing every once in a while. And slowly but surely for the past 5 or 6 years, I've been making my way through the wrestling industry, whether as an announcer, a manager, and now a booker slash a promoter slash producer, doing anything and everything to just work in the pro wrestling business. It's been a weird and very fun ride.
That's awesome. I always wanted to do that. Like, that's what I would always like. I don't want to be the wrestler. I just want to be the guy who talks shit and gets everybody angry. Like, you know, but occasionally you have to take that chair to the head, I'm imagining, which is not the fun part.
I have not taken a chair. I have been Not yet. I refuse to take a chair shot to the head. That's my line. I've been punched in the face. I've been splashed on. I had a woman grab me by the lapels and throw me into a steel post. I got a concussion, I think, from that because I hit my head on the floor of an Elks Lodge. It was a Knights of Columbus in Vanier, Ontario. I slipped on my dress shoes and I hit my head on the floor. It sounded like a cassava melon getting hit by a Gallagher mallet. And I remember everything that happened after, but I had this headache for like 4 days after. So I'm thinking it was a concussion.
Oh, man. But if the walls of the Knights of Columbus could talk.
Yeah. A lot of people getting hit with keyboards and me getting beaten up by a woman at least 6 inches taller than
I was. Have you ever gotten Fuji dust thrown in your face?
No, but I have thrown Fuji dust before, and it's the biggest pain in the ass to do. Yep. If you try to grab the powder, you use a gimmick, which is just a transitive term for anything. It's a verb, it's a noun, and an adjective. It's like snow to the Eskimos.
Yeah.
You get baby powder, you put it in a little doggy bag or just like a little sandwich bag, and you try to poke a hole in it so you can get the powder into your hands, and then you try to throw it. Most people throw right-handed. I am left-handed. So I'm trying to do all of this at the same time, and you think things happen very slowly when you're working in professional wrestling, but it takes like 5 seconds, but it feels like you're going on forever, and it's dragging, and it feels like everything's being shot with a phantom camera, and it's just uncomfortable, annoying, and you finally throw it, and I barely got the guy. But I have a legal textbook, same way Jim Cornette had a racket. I have a legal textbook, and when you hit somebody with that, you leave a message. You leave an imprint. You know who published that book when you enter a match with me, and you get in the book.
Nice. Get in the book. Get in the book. Justice has been served.
Yeah, brother.
What is your catchphrase? Do you have a catchphrase?
I am the Esquire of Excellence, and I usually start off my promos with, for those who are culturally unaware, just because it sounds good and it sounds like something a smug piece of shit lawyer would say.
Nice. Right.
Sounds like Mike's term for unruly teens.
Yeah.
We all know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Right on.
Look, I work for one radio show where the guy got fired. I don't want to be a guest on a show where a guy got fired.
Be the first guy to get fired from a podcast.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen.
Right on. As you mentioned, the word gimmick is used for many things in wrestling. It could be anything from like your merchandise that you sell to something you hit someone with or cut yourself with to just your character. And we're going to go with that, I think, tonight, as we're just going to discuss the worst. At the end, we'll definitively decide what the worst gimmick is as far as just the personas and this ridiculous characters that some of these guys are usually forced to take on through the years. So there's just so many. I grew up as a kid watching a lot of wrestling. How about you guys?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm proud or ashamed to say that I've been to WrestleMania 4 and 5.
Dude, that's awesome.
And then worked the last one. So I've been.
Oh, that's right.
Three WrestleManias, and let me preface everything by saying I fucking hate pro wrestling.
Well, you're a communist and a terrible person, and you should be stoned in front of your friends and family.
Yeah, but with good reason. I'm
stoned a lot. Don't you worry.
I'm there. Yeah, my list, and you'll see my list spans the years 1985 to 1987. Because that's kind of where I was, and that's where I dropped out. So, but yeah,
fair enough.
I was into it, but I got some good ones. I can talk the lingo. I can talk for an hour about wrestling. I'm fine.
How about you, Art?
I remember watching the cartoon show. I didn't really watch the live action stuff until college. The funny thing is, my roommates were all into it. I was coming into live with them junior year, and I'm all about football. And I'm like, I'm bringing in the TV, so I'm watching football Monday night. And they're like, well, that's when Raw is on. I'm like, I don't care. They're all doing work because I had like a easy major. So I was like, hey, guys, Raw's on. The Rock's going to take somebody out. And they're like, good Lord, man. We turned this guy into like a football freak to like a wrestling freak. So I think for 2 years I was into the WWE.
And that was what years was that?
2000 and 2001.
OK. So was that like when it was all extreme and whatnot?
both of you gentlemen picked solid eras to really like pro wrestling. It's
right. Yeah. So ours is called like the bad attitude era or whatever the fuck. What's it called?
Yeah, the attitude era, I guess.
Attitude era. Yeah, whatever the fuck it is. And then what's Matt? What would you call the era that I?
The junkyard dog era.
The best era.
Yeah, the WrestleMania 4 to 6, like that era. What would you call that? Was like the golden age?
The Hogan era. It was the expansion era, pretty much from 83 till about 92 would be the expansion era / the death of the territories. It was basically where Vince McMahon took the world on,
right.
And basically everybody either adapted, which is what the Crockett's did, or died, which is what the Crockett's did as well and turned into WCW. The interesting thing about that era is that everybody talks about how Vince McMahon killed the wrestling territories, killed the NWA, the AWA, and all those little ancillary territories that made up both organizations. The thing about it was they just did not know what to do, and they could not work together, and there were so many egos involved. And once you get that many egos in a room and they're trying to get run against one organization that's run soundly and smartly and like a machine, you can't beat that. And that's why the WWE has endured for the past 30 years since Vince McMahon has taken it over, is because he knows how to play the game and he knows the business better than nearly anybody. And he's been able to adapt his company, adapt the business model, continue evolving the product, and staying one step ahead of the competition.
The only thing he lost to was the World Wildlife Federation.
Yeah, he lost to a fucking
panda bear. Yeah, eating some kiwi.
When did Vince McMahon officially take over the WWF/?
His dad owned it first, didn't he?
Yeah, his dad, his father, Vincent J. McMahon, owned the Capital Wrestling Corporation, which was turned into the Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
Fun fact.
Just looking for a year.
Yeah, from 62 to 83. Sorry. I'm trying to inform your audience, Mike. I apologize. You might have these Jamoke guests come on your show and just try to say yes or no questions. I'm informing your audience, sir. I am providing a public service to those who may not be enlightened by the loveliness that is pro wrestling.
Finally, the Matt has come back to Masters of None.
You're like an autistic kid who's finally being talked to. It's great.
Also, you did go to high school with me. Fantastic. It would be around mid-83, early 84, or way, way before early 84. It would be like towards the end of 1983.
All right. Young Joe Piscopo was on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Yes. Young Joe Piscopo, taking the world by storm.
And let me ask you another question. Why, oh why, did he decide to not be the forefront right of the way? Because when I was watching, he was a ring announcer, and he made Jack Tunney the fucking quote-unquote president of the WWF, which was probably a good thing to put on my gimmick here. My gimmick here of Jack Tully. Is it Tully or Tunney?
Tunney. Jack Tunney had a job because basically Vince bought the Toronto Wrestling office, which was Maple Leaf Wrestling, and he needed work, so it was part of the deal. But Vince, I think, I can theorize, was just he just wanted to not be the face of the company. He didn't want the attention all to be on him. It didn't make sense for him to be the face of the World Wrestling Federation or the man in charge. And if you knew enough about wrestling, you already knew that he was the boss. And that's just not how the business was back then. Vince was the announcer, and he played it as such. Right. And I don't think he just wanted to take attention away from what was going on in the product, and there was no real fit for him to be the guy, the front for the company.
Right. Okay. Cool. That makes sense.
You kind of bone up on your knowledge of stuff, okay, Matt?
Fine. I'll go to school then.
All right. So let's get into this. Let's start off with Matt, because he's going to have the most out of all of us here. So, Matt, give us one of your worst gimmicks of all time, worst possible pro wrestling characters.
I'm going to drag out a lot of terrible ones, but the first one would be PN News. PN News was a guy in WCW in the early 90s who had a rap gimmick, and he basically looked like one of the Fat Boys. Like, shot for shot, you could put him in the Fat Boys biopic, and he would be nominated for a Golden Globe.
As which one?
Any one of them, honestly, probably the lighter skinned ones, just for a
one,
point of reference.
Yeah, the one. Art, the come one, on, you don't know any of their names, Art?
No, I don't.
I don't
know any of the names of the Fat Boys?
I do not.
Oh, turn in your black membership card.
God damn it, Art.
Fucking the one thing we needed you for today.
Jesus.
You can't.
The human beatbox was now.
You can't Wikipedia fucking fat boys.
One thing.
You had one job.
One
Art.
Job.
All right, so there's always been a lot of bad like rapper wrestlers. They all seem to want to rap for some reason. So what else was part of his gimmick?
He would rap songs and rap his promos, and it was just not good raps. He was a terrible wrestler. It was during the time where WCW tried to do things like the Ding Dongs, where they would ring a bell, or the Hunchbacks. Jim Herd, the guy running WCW, wanted to do a tag team called the Hunchbacks, because they could never be pinned because both of their shoulders could never touch the mat. That was a legit. I'm going to switch it to the Hunchbacks from PN News, because that is the definitive worst thing that's ever been pitched in pro wrestling.
Let's cheat by having a fucking deformity out on the goddamn mat. Hilarious.
What if just a guy with no arms?
He
couldn't be pinned either, right? So I think you have to have arms to technically have shoulders, don't you?
In theory, I would believe so. I'm going to put out a Craigslist ad now. Wanted wrestler with no arms for professional wrestling contest.
He couldn't be Irish whipped. He had to be Beirut whipped or something.
Actually, wait a minute. Wasn't there like a guy with no arms or something that they brought in? WWF brought in once?
His name was like, one-legged wrestler. His name was
that's
Zach
what
Allen.
It was. Yeah, that's a terrible gimmick.
His name was
I mean, although he really went for it, you know.
And at one point they were trying to hire Zach Allen, but they hired another one-legged wrestler. And Vince McMahon was quoted as saying, "You hired the wrong one-legged wrestler." That was a conversation had in Titan Tower. So just
commitment to a gimmick though. His leg amputated.
He was the Jim Abbott of fucking.
Never got that perfect game though. Although he did. Didn't the one-legged guy just have like one match and he won and then that was it?
He wrestled for. He's still wrestling actually, but yeah, he was brought in with Mr. America.
What did you say?
He wrestled a chair. And he won in dramatic fashion. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
No, his name is Zach Gowen. He's actually still wrestling as part of a tag team called the Handicapped Heroes with a wrestler named Gregory Iron, who...
Handicapped Heroes?
Yeah. And,
he has no legs.
No, he has both of his legs. I believe he has cerebral palsy. And, yeah.
Awesome.
No,
commitment.
But... Yes, commitment to the bit. But, yeah, the Zach Gowen... was a one-legged wrestler. He was in the WWE for about a year, year and a half, and now he's just kicking around the independents in the Midwest.
Wow. That's
amazing.
That's incredible. He's in the handicap. What is it called?
Handicapped
Heroes, yeah.
Handicapped Heroes. Sounds like a terrible comic that you see in the fucking recycling bin.
Yeah, the dollar bin.
Yeah.
Comic book store. Yeah, they give them out for free in schools.
Spot after, by Crest.
After an uncomfortable assembly. Probably involving marionettes or puppets or something. Ventriloquist act. All you kids get a comic book to take home. The Handicapped Heroes. Yay.
Yay. Sponsored by wheelchair ramps.
All right. Art, what do you got?
Kind of going with the rapping thing, WCW, Matt, you probably know this, one of my good friends who writes over with Smoking Section and with Leather, he was talking about a couple weeks back about when WCW was trying to bring in Master P, and it was the whole, like, I hate rap feud.
I love that angle so much.
Oh, was that when the stripper guy who wore the towel, like, turned into, like, the
No, that like, was the right Catholic. The censor. That was a different thing. Okay.
Wrong.
This pretty much cost Eric Bischoff his job, right, at WCW?
It was one of the tipping points, yes. It was the No Limit Soldiers of Master P, a guy named Swole, who was just Master P's bodyguard that they paid $500,000 a year to learn how to wrestle.
Yeah.
I think the Road Dogg's brother was involved at some point.
Yep.
And a few other ancillary tag-alongs, and they were feuding against the West Texas Rednecks. Headed by Kurt Hennig, who was from Minnesota. it was very interesting to see Kurt Hennig, Barry Windham, his brother Kendall Windham, Bobby Duncum Jr.
And Curly and, Bill.
Curly Bill.
Oh, my God. I just passed out for how stupid that was. Oh, my God.
And they released the hit single. That's right. You guessed it, folks. Rap is Crap, which is not necessarily a terrible country song if you put it up against the Blake Shelton song or whatever the hell's
something
out there.
Your dad makes up. Fucking terrible title.
Well, what are you going to do? All right, Mike, what do you got?
Whew. All right. You're welcome. See, I brought something to it.
Yeah. All right. I'll go first, Mike, the couple of guys that are fucking terrible gimmicks. Number one, the Gobbledygooker, which was a turkey based, no pun intended, fucking wrestler that was it. He was teased at Survivor or leading up to Survivor Series, I believe in the mid to late 80s. Am I right?
It was 1990.
Oh, okay. There you go. Cool. 1990.
A year that would live in infamy.
Yes. Yeah. As the Gobbledygooker hatched from a giant egg that they've been teasing all the way up to Survivor Series. And then in Survivor Series, which happened in November, of course, right around Thanksgiving, a turkey wrestler pops out and never wrestled, right? He never actually wrestled.
No.
Because it was such a bad fucking thing that, like, was it? I read about it. Roddy Piper and Gorilla Monsoon and whoever else was in the Gorilla Monsoon, which is a great fucking name, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great Xbox Live handle. I would fucking love that.
It's almost as good as Elephant Typhoon.
But they tried to save it, but you could hear it in their voices. They're like, "Oh, it's the Gobbledygooker. It gets the cranberry sauce in that one." And Roddy Piper is the best because he could barely hold it in. He could barely hold the fact that this was the stupidest idea ever. And he never wrestled, right, Matt?
No, I think he did a few appearances, did the turkey in the straw dance with Mean Gene Okerlund, and that's pretty much it.
All right, giddy up.
And then he retired along with Jaguar Tsunami.
Jesus.
You laugh, but that's probably someone in the indies name right now. Like, Jaguar Tsunami is the champion in Paducah, Kentucky, and has held the belt for 20 years because he's the owner of the promotion.
Or they're listening to this, like a wrestle hopeful. It's like, man, that's an awesome name.
Jaguar Tsunami runs guns for the Yakuza.
Speaking of weird animal hybrids, I threw a link there, and we'll post pictures of some of these too on the page when we post the show.
Yeah,
but this thing's called Mantor.
Oh, Mantor! Oh,
this is a WWF thing from '95. It's basically a dude with a giant bull's head, and I don't know, that was it. He would headbutt people, it says here, and moo at them, and probably that's about all he could do, wearing a giant bull's head.
How can he move his neck? How can he turn? He can't turn his neck.
He has worse neck movement than like the Dark Knight first costume.
What are you talking about? It's sadly he would only wear it to the ring. When he would take it off, it would be two big streaks of black grease paint going from under his eyes all the way to the back of his head. And that is not the first time someone's worn an animal's head to the ring. There was actually a wrestler in Chicago named Moose Cholak, which is a name that would draw anywhere in the world.
He would come
to the ring wearing a fucking moose head. Just a dead moose's head. And
ew, like a real one?
Yes, he would get
that's badass.
Yes. He was about 6'8".
Sure, it wasn't Tom Green.
Not a person. And he may or may not have just been a complete animal. He may have actually been a moose. We have not been able to do studies on his body yet, but we think he's an actual moose.
That is commitment. I would be frightened if I had to wrestle a guy who just had a dead moose's head on top of his head. That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like dripping blood and shit, or like a taxidermied one?
I think it was a taxidermied one. I don't think he had that much commitment to go out into the wilderness of Illinois.
All right, so the dude robbed the TGI Fridays.
Yes. He walked into a Fuddruckers at 4 in the morning, got pissed off at the service, took the moose head and said, oh, I can make a gimmick out of this, and then made millions of dollars.
Stop the press.
And that was, kids, how they came up with Wally World. All right, what's your next one, Matt?
Let's see. Going into the old brain box here. You guys like comic books. I've met, you've been to the Comic Con. You guys like Spider-Man, right?
Oh, yeah. Gee willikers.
Well, what happens if we took Spider-Man, took all the stuff away that made Spider-Man fucking cool, changed the colors to purple and yellow, and had him job out every week?
I got it.
That means lose, guys.
Yeah.
Yes. That means lose. That would be Arachnaman, which nice. Was WCW's version of Spider-Man and was a terrible, terrible idea. WCW in the early 90s tried so hard to be the WWF that they would go into painstakingly awkward ideas such as the lovely, lovely, lovely Arachnaman, PNU, the aforementioned Hunchbacks, and you would have to sit into a WCW booking meeting with a guy named Jim Hurd, who was a Pizza Hut executive who was able to be friends with wrestling promoters and somehow got the job. And he would come up with these things that were created by a bottle of scotch, and he would just be able to create them. It was like if you were able to write your own fan fiction with a multi-million dollar budget.
I love this. They said that he even shot Silly String out of his wrists, and the character was scratched after WCW was threatened with legal action.
By Marvel Comics, who they were doing a comic book series with at the time.
Nice. So what was
he kind of looks like Pinhead.
Yeah, the costume is awful.
Fucking terrible, dude.
He looks awful. Yeah. Looks like a kid would make that in their bedroom.
Looks like he's wearing an oven mitt on his head. What was Arachnaman's finishing move, may I ask?
I would assume laying on his back and looking up at the lights.
I would assume calling his mom and telling him the check wasn't in the mail.
Yes.
Finishing fucking move.
All right. Art, what's your next one?
What about Nails?
Aw.
What is Nails?
What that is.
This one.
With a Z, folks. That's how we're getting crazy.
That's how you know.
Of course.
Wasn't
He's a rapper too, right?
He was always fighting the Big Boss Man, right, Matt?
He feuded with the Big Boss Man because...
Wait, hold on. Time out.
Why would he not fight Jim the Hammer? Greg the Hammer Valentine.
I love the fact that we have like 85% of our information and we just go to Matt and be like, right? Is that right? Like all of us were just like, yeah, we got Nails, right? Is that easy?
I have become your version of pro wrestling Wikipedia.
Yes.
Yeah, Nails was an interesting sort because he was a convict who believed he was wrongly accused and claimed to have been a victim of prison beatings by the Big Boss Man in the Cobb County prison system. And this legendary feud led to a nightstick match at the 1992 Survivor Series.
I kind of remember that, actually. But it was one nightstick, right?
Yes, it was. I believe it was a nightstick.
It was one nightstick, and it was like hung in the middle.
Yes, I forget how the nightstick was involved. It's been a few years since I've actually watched this event, but if you have the WWE Network, you can relive all of that magic
in all the glory.
It's all in its beautiful, beautiful glory. But Nails got fired for trying to kill Vince McMahon.
For reals?
Did he blow him up in a limo? Right after
no,
9/11.
He just tried to choke him to death,
mm.
Which is what I think he went to jail for in gimmick. I don't know. He went to jail for reasons we don't understand. But if you're marketing a product to children in 1992, what's the best thing? Get a scary convict with a gravelly voice talking about how he was wrongfully accused. That'll sell to kids, I guess.
So wait, so he really choked Vince?
Yeah, he allegedly he tried to throttle Vince McMahon, and he got fired because he was a crazy person.
All right.
I love that. I love when shit gets real. my favorite.
I'll put this one out there. IRS.
Oh yeah,
Irwin,
I remember that.
R. Scheister. Because in the terrible economy that was the early 90s, or I guess it was actually pretty good at the time, nothing is scarier than an IRS man with a fucking tight shirt and red suspenders and a briefcase that he'd hit people over the head with. Ooh, his secret weapon is Samsonite.
Secret weapon is this nice soft leather briefcase.
What a fucking joke that was. And it really just like looked like Bruce Campbell with a fucking ponytail. That guy. He was fucking terrible. And everybody has, I distinctly remember everybody, you know, everybody has their own theme music and stuff. And Irwin R. Scheister's theme music was fucking god awful. It was just like, I don't even remember what the fuck it was, but it was just like one of those things where you hear it and you're just like, okay, whatever.
I think it was adding machines.
Mm-hmm.
It was legitimately just adding machines.
Right. It was a fucking scene from The Producers.
Number. Surprised that wasn't the Beatles' Taxman, just with the chords reversed, yes, as they tend to do.
With a heavy metal guitar, just in the background.
They'll take like a popular song and then just like change the order of the chords, like for to make the music. Like
and they have Rick
Diamond Dallas Page is like Smells Like Teen Spirit, but like it's just like backwards. Freaking hilarious!
It's all in minor keys.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're. My next one is going into ECW. This one, not on any of these websites probably, but it always bothered me. I was definitely into ECW because that shit was just fucking insane, crazy. This was a big, huge, fat dude. His name was Roadkill, which has nothing to do with his gimmick because he was Roadkill, the angry Amish outlaw.
What?
So he was a big, giant, fat dude. Real beard, and he dressed like an Amish guy, and yes, he didn't talk, never talked.
He did talk. He said one thing and one thing only: chickens.
That's right. He did say that, which also doesn't make any sense.
No, he was the angry Amish chicken plucker. Roadkill.
Oh, that's right. The angry Amish.
Well done. You are the professional wrestling Wikipedia.
Holy shit!
I have watched way too much professional wrestling in my.
You know
life.
What happened? I mixed him with the Amish Outlaws, which is an awesome cover band who also dress up like Amish people and play ridiculous cover songs.
What is it with people's obsession with the Amish?
I don't know. But yeah, the angry Amish chicken plucker. You're right. Fucking A. And he sucked and he always lost. And he was always in like awful tag teams with another gimmick that I hate, which is the no gimmick gimmick, where you're just a guy with a regular name because he always partnered up with just this dude named Danny Doring.
Danny Doring.
He would just wear like an awful, like shiny purple, like wrestling outfit.
Singlet.
Yeah. No, it wasn't even. It was just like weird, like boy shorts and like a like a tank top. It was just awful, and just no gimmick. ECW had tons of those guys. I guess they didn't have enough money to have gimmicks for everybody.
Danny Doring had a gimmick in a sense that he was just supposed to be a sleazeball. He was supposed to be just a creepy pervert while paired up with an Amish guy. Paul Heyman's one of my heroes, so I rarely throw shade at him, but that was a weird combination. But at the time, it kind of worked towards the end of ECW. There was a lot of things going on, but that roster was really talented, especially the tag team division.
Yeah.
But they were the last ever ECW tag team champions. Yeah. Like, there was the Full-Blooded Italians, where actually at that time were actual Italians. At one time, there was a black guy, two Southern guys, and a guy named Little Guido. There was the Sinister Ministers team of Mikey Whipwreck and Tajiri. There was a whole bunch of great tag teams, but Danny Doring.
Boys, of course.
Yes, of course. But by that time, they were in the WWF. But the angry Amish guy and the guy who proposed to a woman on ECW television who turned out to be later Lita with a condom was the last ECW tag team champs.
Nice.
Danny Doring, his fucking gimmick was the fact that he took pictures of people at schools and during the playground and he smelled women's shoes. That was his fucking gimmick. He was just a creep.
Yes, that's pretty much what it was. He was a creep.
He's a peeping Tom.
And sadly, his finisher wasn't the Megan's Law. Because there's so many bad ones. I'm going to go with a mid-90s WWF staple, T.L. Hopper. And T.L. Hopper.
He was a frog
yes,
character.
He was a frog. He was a frog gimmick. No.
That's two initials that people have.
I would not have even put it past you if that was actually true. I actually would have been like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, a frog. Yeah, they were capitalizing on the whole Muppets market. Phase of the mid-90s.
In the mid-90s, the WWF was obsessed with having characters who had occupations. You had Duke the Dumpster Drosy, who was a garbage man. You had, during the baseball strike, there was Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, who was a disgruntled baseball player who wanted to wrestle to get his frustrations out. There was The Goon, who was a hockey player.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then there was
the
PL Hockey. No, that was WCW. That was Stuart Payne, who ended up being a smash of Demolition.
Like some of these guys, like New Jack. And he's
I love New Jack. I wish New Jack was my uncle. if you watch the classic Beyond the Mat documentary, you can hear about how New Jack went to an audition. And the quote from the casting director was, "He can't be Denzel, but he can be Denzel's friend." If you haven't watched Beyond the Mat, I would suggest watching that and then going down the rabbit hole of the documentaries that go into the world of independent wrestling. There's one called Wrestling with Jesus, The Ballad of T-Money. It's really interesting because it mixes wrestling with preaching. And it's a little disconcerting for those who are not used to Southern professional wrestling.
Yeah, I would recommend ECW's Bloodiest Matches or whatever that DVD is, or Most Violent Matches. That is just insane.
It's a damn good DVD.
Oh yeah, I have like two wrestling DVDs, that and then the ECW the Hardcore History one. That just kind of goes. It's almost like a documentary about the whole ECW thing, which is really cool. All right.
This was kind of funny because there was no imagination whatsoever because it came out of Hulk Hogan's movie No Holds Barred. Wasn't Zeus like a wrestler at one point?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Tiny Lister.
My grandmama gave me that chain.
His beef with Hogan was like he was the star of the movie. He kept on saying like, "I was the star of the movie and you took that from me."
I love the fact that like right in the beginning he seemed unstoppable. Like that was like their whole big thing. Like you punch him and he would be like, he would just shake it off and he was invincible. He was the almighty Zeus. And then somehow fucking Hulkamaniacs and his 24-inch fucking dick or whatever the whatever shit it was beat him finally. One body slam.
Hey Matt, let me ask you off topic, man.
Yes.
How big is your python?
How many times have you get pulled in touch?
I've come and gone on Hulk Hogan so many times in my life. I respect his place in the history of the professional wrestling business.
All right. I'm not even looking for that. I'm just wondering, when did he start collecting Air Jordans?
I think it's when he got divorced and started becoming the cool dad after the divorce. Because both of the parents were trying to be the cool parents. Then the divorce happened and Linda Hogan started fucking rappers and Hulk Hogan just said, "Fuck it, I'm going to start collecting Air Jordans and teaching Riff Raff how to wrestle." So,
best line of the night right there.
Riff Raff.
No, he's legitimately teaching Riff Raff how to wrestle. Like that, I'm not making that up. The rapper.
The rapper guy?
So that's going to happen. Riff Raff's going to wrestle, and we all better be prepared for the greatest thing that ever happened in professional wrestling, Jody Highroller. I will pay money to see that happen. Hulk Hogan is a guy that you cannot argue his place in wrestling history, but you can really question his business and fashion choices.
Sure.
All right.
Mike, you're next.
All right. I'm going to get away from guys, from characters, and I'm just going to do fucking gimmicks of all time. The idea of a fucking manager or in the Million Dollar Man's case, a bodyguard. You're a fucking professional. So you need a goddamn bodyguard. The stupidest
Virgil.
Thing I've ever seen. Not to mention the fact that Virgil's a completely useless person on the goddamn planet. He didn't talk for the first 8 years he was actually in the WWF. And then finally when he did, you were like, "Oh, great. I don't want to hear another word from you, you fucking asshole." I hate the idea of
muscle having muscle.
Yeah, muscle having muscle. Yeah, exactly. It's the worst thing ever. It's the department of redundancy department.
I'll agree with that. Did we lose Matt again?
No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm just listening. I'm just listening to how the other side thinks, and I was gonna go into a whole argument about how that's how it's supposed to work. The heel needs more muscle, but I've got my chalkboard, and I'll leave that to another day.
Put the infographics down.
Yeah, I can give a TED talk on why heels do things, and no one would be interested except five people who are on a subreddit somewhere.
I have 8 pie charts that will explain this perfectly.
That's basically it. That's basically how I run wrestling shows. Here's the pie charts. This is what you did right. This is what you did wrong. Now apologize and then do a couple laps.
Beautiful.
I got to bring one up. I think it's fairly obvious, but Eugene.
Who's that?
Such a bad idea.
Just a guy who's retarded. That's his gimmick.
Yeah, yep. he was Eric Bischoff's special nephew.
He's a mentally challenged guy who wrestles.
How is and not fired from everything that he's ever done? Like, that is what? Retard? He had a retard as a goddamn wrestler?
It wasn't a legitimate retarded man. It was a very talented wrestler named Nick Dinsmore playing a retarded man.
We went I Am Sam, and he had a fucking...
It wasn't even real.
He had a bowl haircut and a fucking pair of overalls, and he wrestled?
He's like balding with long hair and a beard. And yeah, he just pretended to be mentally handicapped.
Okay, send me a picture. Text right now. I don't know what this fucking guy looks like. This is infuriating. The fact that he played a retarded character and nobody got fired.
Yeah, and it's surprising that it happened so recently. And
how recent?
Got away with it.
10 years ago.
That's 2004.
Pretty recent.
Really?
Yes.
That would never fly right now.
No.
No way.
No.
If this was February of 2004, it wouldn't fly in April. That's fucking terrible.
It lasted about a year. It lasted a while. He was around for he had 2 runs.
He doesn't even look retarded. He looks like TJ Miller. He's
well, that's somehow worse.
And he's got a fucking a name tag that he wrote on a bar napkin that he's pinned to his jacket.
He looks like
a satin jacket that Danielson wore and got spaghetti sauce spilled all over it and fucking Karate Kid. And then.
A very specific reference.
Yeah, you got it. And a garbage bag for a thong. Look at that. Jesus. And he's supposed to be fucking tarred.
I feel like this is my pick for the worst gimmick of all time.
That's terrible. Eugene. Big fucking Eugene.
His mind, his feeble mind couldn't handle a last name. He would never remember it.
Wow.
Eugene Fitzberbert.
Holy shit.
Mike's speechless almost.
Yeah, I'm fucking... Almost. This is terrible.
I feel like giving Mike a hug. Just giving him a hug and saying it's okay. There's better things out there than this. I feel like I'm in the inevitable position of defending something that rarely can be defended. This is our fault, and I apologize.
All right. Matt, what else?
There's the Christmas creature, Isaac Yankem DDS.
Yes, that's on my list. Those are both Kane, right?
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Talking about the Christmas creature. That's a good one.
What is it? It was a one-off. Memphis Wrestling was where Andy Kaufman came from, and where that whole thing happened with Jerry the King Lawler. They would do some of the most ridiculous shit you would ever imagine. They would bring in Freddy. They would bring in Jason. They would have mummies. They would have Kamala, the Ugandan giant. At some point, they would have just monsters. Legitimate Hollywood movie monsters to come in and Jerry Lawler beat them up.
Anything more ridiculous than somebody body slamming them with retard strength?
The Christmas creature was just a giant fucking Christmas tree.
Mm.
Just a giant Christmas tree that came in and wrestled. They should have paired him up with a character named Santa Claus, which was Ted DiBiase hiring an evil Santa Claus to screw with all the children and say, I bought off Santa Claus. This is pro wrestling,
my
folks.
God.
The lifeblood of my life. The reason I get up in the morning, what I make money with, and Mike has got his head in his hands and wondering why the hell he let this meandering asshole on his program.
I fucking love it, dude. It's gold. It's what it is. It's fucking, oh, Jesus Christ. All right, sorry. Go ahead. Anyway,
I would love to be in one of these like pitch meetings where they're pitching new characters.
Yeah.
Because think of all the stuff that doesn't get through.
Was the Christmas creature like the Stanford mascot? Like on
yeah. It's with Christmas lights on it.
Yeah.
it essentially was the Stanford. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's talk about the Isaac Yankum DDS.
That's a yeah. Great,
the same guy.
Terrible Yankum DDS, who was Jerry Lawler's dentist. Leading up to a Kiss My Foot match at SummerSlam 1995, I believe.
Which naturally should involve a dentist and not a podiatrist.
No.
Someone was because like, yeah, it'll be a podiatrist. Someone was like, that's ridiculous. He'll be a dentist. People are scared of the dentist.
That was legitimately the whole thing. People are scared of the dentist. And to go upon what Mike said with IRS, his theme song was just a dentist drill. He came out to the sound of a dentist drill.
That I read that wasn't annoying to the audience.
No, not at all.
Ever.
Yeah, curly bleach blonde hair, and then like a red goatee, and then like a like scrubs with like the sleeves cut off, but like really tight.
Yeah, that poor bastard couldn't get a break till 1997. It took a mask to save that man's career, but made him nothing but fucking money. God bless him. God bless that man.
That fucking guy. Look at him. Look at that poor bastard. That poor bastard has to wake up every morning, look in the mirror and go, yep, this is as good as it's going to get. That's it. And by the way, his teeth are terrible.
That's the joke, because that's first. He's a terrible dentist. Da, 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 da.
Isaac Yankum. I get it.
And you know, they use initials for no reason, but for this one, where what it should have been I Yankum DDS. Now, this one, they're like, no, use the full name, Isaac, because that makes more sense than PN News, IP Freely. He was a guy who pissed on his opponents.
PN News.
Hey, don't be looking in my notebook now. Don't be stealing my gimmick ideas. That one's gold. That was going to get me hired, jerk.
Art. What's next for you?
All right. I think one of my last ones is Glacier, Mortis, and Wrath. It was more like Mortal Kombat characters.
That fucking guy.
Wow, you struck a nerve on that one. Don't come near my Mortal Kombat shit.
Oh, no. No, because it was either that angle or WC or the NWO that was going to be WCW's big storyline. It was going to be a ripoff of Mortal Kombat or the New World Order. And Eric Bischoff, for once, made the right decision.
Mike, any more for you?
I have a couple. Number one is props. Just any props that guys bring out. Like, some props are just fucking pointless. Like I'm sorry. I know this is fucking sacrilegious. I know everybody fucking loves him to death, and everybody's like, oh my god, he's one of my favorites. But what the fuck was Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 for? There was no. They never explained what he just came out with a 2x4 and a flag and a. If anybody was gonna be a fucking half a retard, it should have been him with his fucking cross eyes and his lip going one way like he had fucking Bell's palsy. And then he brings out a fucking 2x4 for no reason. It's like, why? Why the 2x4? Why can't you just... It's like, hey, anything that's laying around in the backyard, let me just grab and bring you a fucking wrestling match real quick.
Yeah, why not bring a hacksaw?
Yes! Jim Duggan. Exactly!
What? You're not 2x4, Jim Duggan. You're not the wood man. Bring a hacksaw with you.
So fucking stupid. But I don't understand. I never liked just the gimmicks of props. Like if it was gonna be taken seriously whatsoever, like, don't you realize that any props that you bring to the ring are probably gonna be a fucking weapon at some point? I don't know. Maybe.
What about Adrian Adonis's scarves? Actually, he did use those as weapons.
Yeah, of course.
That's another gimmick I always enjoy. Oh, you're gay. That's your gimmick. You're the gay or bisexual guy that everybody freaks out about and hates because they're all homophobic, even though most of them are secretly gay anyway. But then, you give the straight guy the gay guy gimmick.
Yes.
And that's your thing. That everyone's afraid when you touch them because you're gay. That's great.
He's got the gay.
Afraid to touch them because you're gay.
That's great. They don't want to catch the gayness.
Yeah.
My last one. Well, there's two quick ones too. Is when they just go with like an awful theme. It's not even like a gimmick, like Disco Inferno or like Mike Awesome was that 70s guy.
Ugh.
It's just like, you're a decade. That's your gimmick. Like, you're like the 70s.
You're a decade.
Like 90s dude. He comes out to the ring with like a Crystal Pepsi. It's like, what? Wearing a big dog's t-shirt.
Acid wash jeans.
Bum equipment.
Yeah, but that's always ridiculous. But
Cavaricci.
My real last one, and I don't know what it is. I somehow this guy manages to pop up in things, and his costume is terrible, and his gimmick is stupid, and he's never even like made it into the majors, but somehow Shark Boy always manages to pop up all over the place.
I have a story about that.
And it's just this corniest outfits, and he just irks me to no end. I don't know why. I've never seen him wrestle. Maybe he's the greatest, but no one's ever heard of him. But somehow he just pops up into main. Like anytime there's like a news story about wrestling, they'll like have a picture of him for whatever reason, probably because they can't use any of the real guys because it's licensed. But like, and then I think like when they made the Shark Boy and Lava Girl movie, like he like sued them. So then he's in the news for that. And yet he's still never made anything of himself.
What?
And his fucking costume, I just want to strangle him with it because it's so stupid.
They gave him a pilot. They gave him a TV pilot. They were going to do a Shark Boy TV show. Oddly enough, in that pilot is my girlfriend. My girlfriend was an actress in the pilot of that show.
Oh my God.
And it never aired. That's she never saddest, got a copy of it.
That's the saddest IMDb ever.
This is how this whole show comes together.
Oh, so wait. So he made it to TNA, huh?
Yeah, he was in TNA. He was in TNA for about 8 years, 7 years. Oh, he was really? There for a okay. real long time.
I mean, it's sort of point, the majors. That's like the AAA of wrestling.
It's the number two technically... number two promotion in the country. I would say Ring of Honor, a company that I have friends and I associate with, is now currently the number two, just in terms of the drawing power and television distribution. But yeah, TNA for a while had Shark Boy, and they had he was basically Stone Cold Shark Boy for a while because he could do a really good Steve Austin impression, and he would replace all of the beer drinking and all the Steve Austinisms with fish puns.
God,
we're highfalutin thinkers in the pro wrestling business. We're
give
we're
me
really
a fish point. I want to hear some of these. These got to be cool.
Give me a shell, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm goodbye. That's it for Mike and Art.
No, give me some more. These are great.
I forget.
I love puns.
How about Stone Cold Swamso? Is that bad enough?
I love we're using our gimmick for the gimmick show.
Think you broke Mike.
That's the fucking Inception shit right there.
Wait, I think one more too we gotta mention is the Yeti, but it was actually a mummy.
The Yeti. It's not the Yeti. It's the Yeti.
The Yeti?
Every time he was
Jack
mentioned.
Jack A was his manager?
No. Basically, yeah. They said it.
Ooh, mummy.
Mr. Weasel, not Mr. Weasel.
Tony Schiavone, WCW's play-by-play guy, could not say Yeti like a normal person. He had to say it like Jack A. He had to say Yeti. And we honestly.
Was a mummy.
Yes, in the professional wrestling landscape, we do believe it was a blaxploitation character under the suit, but we really don't know.
Nice.
Wow, that was a joke, but y'all took it seriously. That's depressing.
I totally missed it.
I missed it too.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
All right.
This Matt. Also show is like a definitely wrestling show. We had so many outs, but we keep going.
Yeah.
False finishes, baby. Keep them going.
Which brings me to the last one on my list, which is the double count out, which is basically the kissing your sister of the fucking WWF, which is just like, okay, great. We just did all this for nothing. It's like a soccer tie. It's terrible.
Look at that. And then just the disqualification.
Yeah.
Yeah, where just like you, a long match, and then someone just goes, "Yeah, I'm just gonna hit you with this chair," and then lose on purpose.
Right.
Exactly. And then you're gonna pay to see them do it again because that's how you get them. It's like an act. That's act one. You get to pay for act two. That's how you work the marks, folks.
All right, Matt. Any more for you?
There's too many. I just have to go with the. There's too many. If you start breaking it down, there's Cowabunga, who was in Memphis, who was a Ninja Turtle gimmick. It was just a Ninja Turtle gimmick. He turned out to actually be a sex offender a little bit later on. There was Max Moon, who was supposed to be a spaceman. There was, Mordecai, who was supposed to be some sort of weird evil monk, like the ones from that Tom Hanks movie that was also a book. I don't know. I don't know how to read. Yes, Big.
Money Pit? No. Splash?
Splash, right.
Yeah, Splash. It was actually
Ron
Howard.
He's a
merman. If you look at the... Doink the Clown. The original idea of Doink the Clown was great, but after the original Doink got fired, they just started replacing it with random guys. And Doink died last year. Actually, 2 years ago.
Death fact.
And there are people still acting as Doink on the independent wrestling scene.
Of course. Ugh. And wasn't there a midget version too?
There was Doink, there was Dink, there was Wink, there was Pink. There were a lot of Doink midgets.
Stink?
Wow.
There was a stink. There was a stink.
The thing with that too is like, I mean, clowns are creepy enough, but like, make it an evil clown. He was just like, he just looked like a normal clown. Don't you think?
Yes.
Am I right?
Am I right, folks?
Come on. You with me, right?
Hello?
Oh, come on. Don't pay for the check yet. Oh, come on. I got three more minutes of material.
All right. We need to pick the worst of all time. I don't think it gets worse than Eugene. It's not thoughtful. There's no like real good costuming or anything. And it's just offensive. That would have it. It'll be like having a character called the N-word. And it's just a black guy.
Sloppy sails, and it's just a fucking Asian with a Raiden hat on.
You say Sloopy sails?
Slopey.
Slopey.
Would he be telling really hacky jokes?
Yeah.
And he's like an old timey radio broadcaster, but he's Asian.
Yeah.
Am I the right, folks?
What are your guys' votes for the worst?
Eugene fucking floored me. I never heard of that ever. I never heard of that shit ever. That fucking floored me.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
I'll agree with that one. But I mean, I think maybe Matt like can take the cake. He like his vote is worth four.
Yeah, rules of all that.
I want to go with the Hunchback so badly.
it never happened though.
It never happened. Ah, god damn it. Can I just take WCW as a whole, like from 1990 to? Because there was three count the boy band gimmick where Tank Abbott, the UFC fighter, was their groupie. There was so many terrible.
What about
things.
The Spirit Squad where it was like all the male cheerleaders?
Yeah.
The polyphonic spree of the WWF. Like 18 guys, and they're like, "We're the Spirit Squad," and they're all dressed like the fucking green and white, like rah-rah outfits.
I would book the polyphonic spree on a wrestling show just to see what happens. Just get my biggest, angriest guys and put them in there with them. Just see, it would end with a lot of guys in white smocks dead.
Those guys versus Straight No Chaser.
There you go. All right, so Mike, you're going with Eugene. Art, what's your pick?
Eugene, too.
That destroyed Eugene. Me.
Matt?
I'm going to go with the Hunchbacks or WCW at all. but I will acquiesce to Eugene if the rest of the panel agrees.
Yes, I believe we do.
I didn't even mention the ref being knocked out as the fucking worst gimmicks ever. Like that's like, or just the referee in general. Just the ref, like what?
Just don't even have one.
Yeah, you're even there, but...
But then who's going to tell them when to hurry up and finish because they got to get the commercial?
We got to take it home, boys. We got to take it home.
That, how's that message going to get to the wrestlers?
Yeah. Someone's got to get the pencil.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. Eugene, being mentally challenged is the worst gimmick of all time.
That's just terrible. I think
that's what gets us fired from a podcast.
You don't think Sloppy like Sales is going to be the one?
That sentence out of context is a fucking fireable offense for any job you'll ever have.
That would be like us doing our podcast and one of us pretending to have like autism or something, but we don't. That's how bad that is.
That's terrible.
This was on TV for years. How
he
did
was a
nobody
champion.
Go crazy?
He was a tag team champion.
There were little kids that were fans of Eugene.
Of course, they loved him. And people got mad when Mark Henry, the black dude, banged like an 80-year-old white lady, and then she gave birth to a hand.
I was there for that.
I watched that on TV live. That was crazy. Yeah.
What? Was that Madison Square Garden when that happened? It was uncomfortable for everybody. I was like 10.
I'll never hear something else. No one will ever hear that sentence again. Can you say it one more time, please?
So they had a storyline that this black guy, sexual chocolate, Mark Henry, that was his thing. That was another great gimmick. He was just, I don't know, he just banged all the chicks, I guess.
Yes.
So he banged one of the like old-timey old lady wrestlers who was hanging around for a little while.
Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah, I think it was her, actually.
It was Mae Young, Fabulous Moolah's best friend. They were, they kind of just dressed like old, nice lesbians, even though they weren't lesbians.
Mae Young, is that like calling a fat guy tiny?
But yeah, the storyline was that he got her pregnant, and then she gave birth on TV, and she gave birth to a hand, complete with like wacky sound effects.
What?
Was it a black hand or a white hand?
It was a white hand.
It's a mulatto hand.
See, that's even more fucked up. And it wasn't even his hand. She cheated on him.
And they brought the hand back about 15 years later, and it was all grown up, and it was a man in a large hand costume.
Oh, all right.
That wins. That wins. Fuck Eugene. The giant hand is the winner. Matt, thank you so much. Fabulous guest, sir. It's always
good to have a
bona fide expert on the subject on the show here. We might have to have you back to do the poser's guide to wrestling at some point. Plug your show coming up one more time.
2KW Pro presents Divided We Stand Saturday night, January 17th in the Bronx, 1123 Close Avenue. Tickets are $10. You get 8 matches. They're going to be wall-to-wall excitement. You're not going to miss a damn thing. It's going to be one of the best shows you attend all year long, whether it's music, sports. This is going to be one of the best events you attend all year long. You get to boo me. You get to throw things at me for $10. The price of a movie ticket in small rural America for a cheaper date you cannot find. We're better than the Olive Garden. We're better than TGI Fridays. We're better than Dave & Buster's, for God's sake.
Keep going.
For your country, the duty of your country, the duty of professional sports entertainment, you must go down to 1123 Close Avenue in the Bronx on Saturday night, January 17th, as 2KW Pro takes its next step. For tickets and more information, go to 2kwpro.com or go to us on Facebook, 2KW Pro, or on Twitter, 2KW Pro, and search out all of our videos on 2KW Pro, and you can look up my character, Matthew Ryan Shapiro, on Twitter at M. Ryan Shapiro, also on YouTube at Matthew Ryan Shapiro. You can see my character's commercial, as well as his recent press conference to announce the upcoming event, all on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook.
I was drinking a Blue Point White IPA throughout this fine show.
Oh, you were?
I was. We forgot to mention it. What were you drinking?
I had a toasted lager.
I was drinking tears from Doink.
I was drinking Mae Young's hand placenta.
Wow.
Delish.
Makes a good, all right. Makes a good stew.
Absolutely. I'm going to bury it in my backyard, plant a hand tree. All right. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks
so much.
Ticket oak.
You guys. Yes.
We'll talk to you next week for Mike and Arts and Matt. I'm Jay.
See ya.
Yep. Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now. Father too many.
They had it. I think someone had it and they were like, we want that. We got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Unless they got, they were going way far back.
Maybe they got, they saw that.
Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back. As we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.